I wish it would stop ringing when I pick it up.
Is Lord Max even able to pick it up?
Well, I know he can't get it up.
That's because he went through your mom's vagina.
Superhero time with your hosts, XV.
Without the stick in the hole, it's not any fun.
Hey, Mickey.
Ham is the funniest meat.
Paladin.
Canada.
And Fort Max.
You're listening to Superhero Time, the only podcast where you can be assured we f*** your mom. I'm XV. How you doing, everybody? I mean, you guys.
Oh, I thought you were talking to the audience.
What audience?
Exactly.
I assume that the audience is Barricade.
Yeah, we probably can assume that. Hi, Barricade. How you doing? Okay, after that awkward exchange, joining me this week is Fort Max.
Hello.
Paladin.
Hello.
And back from the helicopters is Hey Mickey.
I'm back by popular demand.
Yes.
Or I've been reissued.
You're back by some sort of demand. I don't know if it was popular or not. I'm not sure
this
what
is
other
Hey
kind.
Mickey Encore collection.
Yes. That'll work, I guess.
Well, and plus I think he now has a little base with him that tells us that next in his line is him again.
No, my bass just makes brown notes.
Brown notes are the best notes.
They are.
I was making some brown notes just the other day. But
with the bass?
What?
With the bass?
Well, of a sort, yes. So, what's new?
Well, we saw more new figure arts in the past week or so.
Because there always has to be more new figure arts.
Of course.
Yes. Okay, so what's coming up that we can't buy?
Well, surprising no one, the Den O's combo known as Tamashi is exclusive to Tamashi.
To Tamashi
Festival.
Yes. One of the many toy shows in the summer in Japan that you can't go to.
Meaning you absolutely cannot buy this one.
No, you can. It just costs you like three times more than Tamashii Web exclusives. Because you have to actually...
A six-inch figure.
You actually have to pay for the middleman's inconvenience to stand in line over and over and over again to get more and more copies of the figure. Because there's usually a limit of one or two per visit. So, yeah.
Well, at least they can't go to BotCon, so, you know.
They used to have their own BotCon.
Not anymore.
And then Takara stopped letting them. Because they love the fans.
Damn them.
Okay, so O's Tamashii form is a Tamashii form in all senses of the word. What exactly. Else is there?
Some new shots of Rider Man.
They're just going to make it a Tamashii employee exclusive.
I wouldn't be surprised if there actually was some of those, too. Like that green Ramulus from, like, 1999.
Yeah.
I think there's, like, seven of those. By Rider Man, I assume you mean Amazon.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Wait, who? Perform for us, monkey.
They'll have to wait for the Sky Rider. Sorry.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Should have tossed him a nickel.
I'm not your mom.
Couldn't tell by looking.
I had to fish the nickel back out first.
What, you're going to stick your hand down there?
No, I was going to use like a grabby claw thing.
Oh.
Borrow the crane arm.
Yeah, you need an extension to get it back.
Well, I mean, there's certainly enough room to work one of those in there. Oh, Amazon. So, yeah, there's that.
It's nice that they're continuing with the Showa-era riders.
Yeah, I guess. Of course, it's going to be kind of funny looking when they get the Stronger. I always thought Stronger looked like he was wearing an inflatable chest armor piece and helmet.
Well, all the Showas are kind of funny.
Yeah.
Right, but Stronger has that going on more than any of the others do. Far, far more. I mean, Stronger basically just looks goofy at this point.
Yeah, he looks like those aliens in Hyperdrive with the inflatable costumes.
He's your blow-up Masked Rider.
And now I'm imagining Kamen Rider Otto.
Okay, then.
So what was the other figure art?
Puto Terra.
Very purple.
That one you actually can probably buy.
Most likely. It is a main form.
It'll probably stick around forever like Fang Joker.
I wonder. Well, wasn't Cyclone Joker Extreme easy to get to for a long time?
Yeah. It certainly was.
Very easy for you to get.
Yeah.
Then there was one more.
Nah, nobody that matters.
Sort of matters. Come on now. Give us the complete news.
How the hell do you say that name? Kaisa?
Yes. That's exactly right. No, actually, it's Kaisa from Fies.
Fies had some pronunciation problems.
Maybe. But, you know, it's Japanese English. What do you expect?
I don't think it's even English anymore.
Well, those might not be English, but it's the same general line of thought. It's the
right
Japanese...
now it's a 50-50 shot to whether you can actually purchase him, though.
And nobody cares about Kaisa anyway.
Exactly.
They need to re-release that B one.
The what? Oh, the B?
Yeah.
That's from Kabuto, not Fies.
Yeah, well, I just want him because he's a big B.
Or a wasp, depending.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much. No. See, what they'll end up doing is making Riot Troopers, which were basically mass production Masked Riders and Fies, and make those Tamashii exclusives.
So you'd have to pay middleman fees in order to troop build?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm getting at, and you know they will do it, too.
They will now that you've said that.
Not quite as bad as Galaxy Force mass production Noise Maze.
Yeah.
Almost. Well, I mean, you know, that came with a DVD, which you could order from Amazon Japan. I think at that point they shipped that stuff to the U.S. You know, that probably in the end was a little cheaper than getting figure arts at middleman markup.
But then you have a pile of identical DVDs.
Frisbees. Coasters. Clay pigeons.
It's Galaxy Force, after all.
Well, hey, it's better than Super Link.
Well, at least Super Link had an awesome theme song.
Sort of. It had an awesome theme song in a certain way, whereas Galaxy Force had good theme songs in a more normal way.
Well, Super Link was good for about 8 episodes or so.
No, that was Energon. Allegedly, Super Link actually makes sense most of the way through.
Does it actually have story?
There was a lot lost in
it's the same story twice.
So it is Energon.
Well, no.
And
Energon
then there's
did...
some obvious, we still have, like, a bunch of episodes left. We need to make something up.
So it is Energon.
No, because Energon didn't even have a story once.
So you're saying it's the Transformers Prime?
Yeah. We'll be right back to Radio Free Cybertron after this message from your Power Rangers podcast. So,
Back on the subject of stuff you can't buy,
Tamashii
Web released
medals?
A list of upcoming exclusives for the month of September.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about the cake medals.
Yeah, well, first things first. Surprising no one is Shinken Yellow and Pink together.
Yeah. Well, especially after that bit in Shinkenger Returns. A little too obscure, or what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. The high school sequence.
I didn't watch it, sir.
You didn't watch it?
No.
Oh. Well, whatever. It's probably not worth the trouble to go through and make it make sense.
I'm just going to assume you're making a lesbian joke and move on.
Yes. With possible cross-dressing.
Was Genta there?
No.
Oh, you said possible, not probable.
I don't think Genta did cross-dressing, did he?
No, I didn't mean Genta, I meant Hanto.
Oh.
don't know why I said Genta. I guess
or you could have been Ken from Geki Ranger. Now that you mention it, I want a figure art of Ken dressed as the white kid's mother. With the beard and all.
Absolutely.
It can even be a Tamashii exclusive. I just want it to exist. I don't actually have to have one. I just want to know that somewhere, somebody would have to pay middleman fees to get one. I'm an evil, evil bastard.
I'd probably pay middleman fees to get one.
Well, you did start this show.
Sad but true. Okay, so the what else is on the list of the upcoming Tamashii Web exclusives?
Well, there's also the Birth Claws set. Again, surprising nobody.
How's that looking?
There's no pictures of it yet. It's just on the list.
Well, screw that.
Exactly.
So if there's no pictures, I'm not interested. What?
That's an accessory kit for the figure arts?
Probably all the armor for Kamen Rider Birth.
Just like they released a bunch of Tajidoru parts in a separate set, or are going to. I don't know if they actually have yet.
They really hate their fans.
Yeah, kind of. I think it's kind of like a game for them now. You know, they just gradually increase the amount of hate they're dishing out. And at this point, they're probably just trying to see how far they can take it before everybody stops buying the stuff.
Probably pretty far.
Yeah. It's sort of like an abusive relationship.
That's my fear about Family Guy, actually. Is that McFarlane's trying to make the show as dumb as it possibly can be before people stop watching?
Well, it did get canceled once, remember?
Yeah.
It's Adult Swim's fault that it ever came back. And of course, really, Adult Swim also brought back
Futurama, so.
Well, yeah, but I mean, for what little good Adult Swim actually manages to accomplish, like Futurama and Venture Brothers, there's a whole hell of a lot of things you can blame them for completely rightfully.
Yeah.
Like basically everything else they have on.
Ever.
Right. See, that could be another podcast, why we hate Adult Swim. I'm sure there's enough that we could talk about it every week.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So where were we? The Claws set?
Adult Swim is no USA's Night Flight.
No, we're not going to get a Dynaman-esque thing out of Adult Swim.
No, if you got the right people in charge, you could get a Dynaman-esque episode of something. But, you know, it's Adult
Swim.
Well,
I think
so
we did with the Harvey Birdman episode.
Which one?
The one that was made out entirely of clips from the original Hanna-Barbera cartoon.
Yeah, except that came across mostly as dumb.
When does it not?
No, I liked Harvey Birdman for the most part. You know, it just... that was something that was probably better in the concept stage than execution. What?
What?
I don't know.
Are we going off subject?
Yes,
are we not?
You're listening to Superhero Time, going completely off subject.
Which would be a lot more entertaining than our show.
That was the idea. Okay, so Shinkanger Girls, Claws.
And last and least is Kazali.
Oh, that's right.
Kazali's least?
Did Uva come out ever?
He's still on the list, but now apparently there's a Kazali on the way, too.
Okay.
Kind of surprising.
I guess.
Well, he's kind of important.
Well, I mean, it's not like we haven't gotten Figuarts villain characters before. We got, what, a whole 3 Dopants out of 2 molds? That's pretty good, right?
Are we supposed to get more?
I don't know. With Bandai, you can never actually tell what's going to come out or not.
And what stuff they just make prototypes of just to say, ha-ha, we're not making this.
Like, looking at Gundam figures, the Robot Damashii series, there's prototypes for that that have existed since, like, 2009 that still haven't been produced as production figures. For no discernible reason.
It being Bandai's not a discernible reason?
It's a reason. It's not necessarily discernible.
I wonder how much money they waste on tooling.
Well, that goes back to my theory before that Japan's not actually out to ever make money, but, you know, we can't really talk about that. So yeah, Kazali, that's slightly less boring than UVA.
In theory, anyway.
Yeah. Of course, it's not like they can really come with much in the way of accessories, is it?
They'll probably have more than Kamen Rider Italy.
Either that or all the accessories will be sold separately.
Or there'll be a limited run that comes with a pseudo-yummy accessory.
Actually, I'm surprised one of them does not come with a static yummy figure, like the Kuroko with the first runs of Shinken Red and Gold.
No, those will come with the figures of the various partial reformed versions that have the
partial reformed what?
The ones that don't have the full armor.
But did you say virgins?
Virgins. You know there be Tamash Web exclusive versions of ones without the complete armor.
Well, no. See, these are already Tamashii Web exclusive, so something like that would have to be exclusive to, like, Tamashii Nations or one of the other toy shows.
And they could find a way to do that.
Oh, totally. I mean, it wouldn't be that difficult. No, what they should do is combo change series greed, where you can switch the parts out to have them with all their armor or not.
Do what I want more than anything in the world. A greed coin bank.
That's not a bad idea, actually.
Then you just keep plugging quarters into.
What would it say
when
you put coins in it?
Yummy. But no, I mean, to really be show accurate, though, you would actually need a bank that's a mold of your head with a coin slot in it. To put it
Oh, no. It would be of Ankh's hand, palm up, where you can feed him into his hand.
Yeah, I like that, too. Extra point if you can put a separate opening on it so you can feed popsicles down into it. Or, you know, other similarly shaped
That'd
objects.
That'd be some really disgusting money by the time you got it out.
But enough about your mom.
Yeah. Okay, so we went over the figure arts and the Tamashii Web exclusives that are coming up. How about the cake medals?
Yes, they're doing a prop set of medals for Kamen Rider O's. Still taking pre-orders while supplies last, it says.
And there's something to do with cake?
Well, the box looks like a cake.
Ah. Well, it's appropriate somehow.
Well, they're calling it the Happy Birthday Kamen Rider Medal Set.
Well, there you go.
So these are actually prop coins that they use in the show. They're
larger, or cast off the props.
These have a diameter of 5 centimeters versus the 3 centimeters of the toys. So they won't fit in your O's driver that you don't have because Bandai won't sell you one.
They're the perfect size for catching in midair.
Yeah, probably. Or jamming down into your hand.
Or any other slot you might have.
Yeah. Well, no, other slots you might have you want to put cell metals into.
Oh, okay.
Or popsicles.
Right. And then finally, I don't know. There's the super imaginative other word that starts with C.
Chogokin.
Thank you. There's those of, what?
The first C word I think of.
Probably not Chogokin, right?
Right.
Yeah. Cookie? Cake? No?
Cricket?
Yes, cricket.
You have to know what a crumpet is to understand cricket.
Right. Okay, so what are these now?
Fang, Joker, and Skull.
And how much do these usually run?
I have no idea.
Well, you're not very helpful, are you?
I'm exactly as much help as
I
can.
Yeah, I know. I already have 2 or 3 recordings of you saying that, so get a new phrase.
It's a catchphrase.
It's not a very good catchphrase. I like Tim Curry better. Tim Curry's better because it's not even an intentional catchphrase.
Yeah, go Tim Curry yourself.
Yes. We should petition the mods at AllSpark to replace one of the swear filter words with Tim Curry. They can choose which one. No? Okay.
We'll make it be Erector.
I think Erector's kind of come and gone.
Oh, has it? I haven't been on there in a while. I assumed
we'll
it was still
a hot blue pill again.
Yeah, I think Erector kind of fizzled out after it got finished. So yeah, the SIC Cyclone Joker came out a couple weeks ago, and it sure looks like an SIC.
Yeah.
But it actually has parts to convert it into Cyclone Joker Extreme.
How does that work?
Basically replace the torso.
Oh. So basically just snap the arms and legs onto something, an entirely different figure?
Something like that, yeah. And it also has option parts so that you can pose the figure doing Joker Extreme. You know, split in half.
That's pretty awesome.
Again, that's probably one of those things that works better in concept than execution. But it's actually not uncommon for these SIC figures to have crazy transformation option stuff. One of the notable examples I can think of is Masked Rider Zeranos, which comes with the Imagen Deneb and can convert between its Vega and Altair forms, leaving a lot of parts behind either way. Bandai
it's
likes
nice if
their...
they can do that, even if they do look kind of freaky.
Yeah, Bandai likes their more expensive detailed figures that you can turn into like 5.5 different things.
I assume the half always being the pile of leftover parts.
Sure. Well, let me think. The SIC Kabuto can turn into Hyper Kabuto, Dark Kabuto, and Kabuto Zector. Because in Decade, Kabuto's final form ride is the Zector form. So it basically involves taking a Zector shell and stuffing the Kabuto figure into it. That's one of the transformation modes.
So, Masterpiece Rodimus Prime, then.
Something like that, yeah.
Does it break when you touch it?
Maybe it doesn't turn into Dark Kabuto, because I think Dark Kabuto is the one that comes with the masked form parts. So what does it turn into? I don't know, I'll think of it later when it doesn't matter anymore.
Exactly.
For as little as it matters right now.
Okay, on the Cyclone Joker,
yeah.
When he splits in half, how does it affect his head articulation?
I don't know, maybe there's a separate head for that.
Huh.
It probably comes with, you know, two more torso pieces that are halves that you step the legs and arms onto, and it has the half heads on it already. I mean, that's probably how it actually works. And really, at that point, they might as well have just included a few extra parts so that you could turn the thing into Cyclone Cyclone and Joker Joker from Decade Final Chapter.
Sure,
well, they'd have to make those parts exclusive, too.
Yeah, probably so. So is that all the upcoming merchandise?
For now, anyway.
Okay.
I still think the most exciting upcoming piece is Gokai Silver Zord.
New Dino Zord.
Ugh.
Huh?
I don't like it.
Eh.
It's not piratey.
I don't think it's supposed to be piratey.
It should be piratey. Although one thing I did notice that I haven't heard mentioned yet is that the blue Tyrannosaur thing is this looks kind of similar to that in crest in the opening credits of the show.
Which one?
The very beginning of the opening credits of Gokaiger, there's the five of them standing there in front of pirate crest. On the right side, there's a brand new dragon-looking thing.
Actually, I think that's the Zangag crest, not the pirate crest.
Is it?
I think so, because I believe that same design is hanging up in the back of the bridge of the Zangak.
There's a dragon somewhat similar to it.
Yeah, there's all kinds of theories.
I wonder if that's a coincidence or not.
There's all kinds of theories floating around about how Gokai Silver is going to be connected to the Zangak, because Gil's chest piece looks a lot like Gokai Silver's Super Mode chest piece, except without the Ranger heads on it.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So lots of theorizing about that, and I'm sure all of it'll be wrong, because nothing ever makes sense.
Especially in Gokaiger.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Hey.
Of course, he has to go and do that after he stops buzzing. And he probably muted his microphone so he can't eavesdrop, too.
Bastard.
I know,
or
at least...
it's going to be Ben yelling again.
At least Fort Max has the decency when he goes away to talk to somebody else to leave the microphone up so that we can listen in and know all his business. I mean, we're on this podcast. It's not like we have a lot else going on in our lives to keep us entertained. So is he back yet?
I guess that's a no.
Yeah. Okay, so moving right along, starting this Saturday, Power Rangers Samurai new episodes will be on Saturday afternoons instead of Sunday.
Well, noon, or for all of us, late morning, but...
Well, whatever, I don't watch it as it airs anyway. So for me, it'll always be on the same dime. Which is
Monday afternoon?
Monday afternoon, right before we start the show. Go me. This Saturday will be the episode that introduces the Gold Ranger, which seems kind of fast, doesn't it?
Well, we still haven't gotten the first two episodes, so...
Technically we have, since in production numbers they are the first two episodes.
Yeah, screw that.
Yeah, whatever. I'm sure they'll get around to it sooner or later, or not.
Later.
Or never. It could be like the unaired pilot of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers that nobody gets to see until 8 years later.
Actually, I believe that was released as, on a fan club video.
Shut up.
I'm back.
Front.
But yeah, I mean, this is only, what, the 11th episode of Samurai?
Yeah.
Which would technically make it the 13th.
But yeah, that seems kind of early to introduce a sixth ranger. Doesn't it?
I guess it does.
I mean, what episodes do Sixth Rangers usually get introduced?
In Sentai, it's the 18th, but they run for like 50 episodes. Do we know right. How many episodes Samurai has, really?
40-ish.
Yeah, I think people are saying about 40.
Yeah, well, typical Saban season has been 40-ish.
Whereas the Disney seasons ended up averaging about 32.
Well, started longer and then dwindled down to 32, yeah.
It was cheaper that way.
So it would make sense they'd bring him in earlier than the Sentai.
Well, yeah, it just seems like episode 11 is very early indeed.
But then they can get more merchandising out of it, too.
I suppose.
Yeah, because Sixth Ranger shit always sells the best, so the earlier you get him out there, the more you can move more merch.
Except for when you don't get them out there at all.
Like
every toy line ever, pretty much.
Like Overdrive.
Well, that was just the Megazord, though. Because nobody needs the Sixth Rangers Megazord.
Or the Green Rangers Megazord.
Yeah, that was true both times, basically.
Yep.
Of course,
kids
in 1993.
Dragons, we won't make none of this shit.
Of course, in 1993, you couldn't really buy any Power Rangers toys anyway, so...
You could find them all over the place before the show started.
That doesn't really count for much, though. All the important stuff came out after the show started.
So, have y'all noticed a lack of Megazords on shelves recently in your areas?
Yes,
not
I
really.
Have. I've noticed a lack of all Power Rangers merchandise altogether on my shelves locally.
That's a good sign.
No, it's not. They never got any Samurai stuff, ever.
Oh, okay, well then...
Now, Toys R Us here have been selling out of Megazords fairly quickly.
After they clearanced out the Power Rangers 2010 stuff, they just kind of dropped Power Rangers.
The 2010 stuff is still hanging around here.
Nice.
Well, in the stores that are carrying it, it seems like they're selling it rather quickly.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that is
good. They want.
It means that it's either popular enough to sell out quickly, or they're getting very little product at a time. Or both.
I don't think that they're getting very little product, because I notice it's, when I come back to stores, it's usually different stuff that's left behind.
Ah.
So, I think it actually is selling at a pretty steady clip.
Well, that's good. At least the show can be popular, even if I don't personally enjoy it that much.
Well, plus it also helps that people can actually see it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, being on a major cable network at a reasonable time of day, that kind of helps. Especially when it's not being preempted by college football every other week.
Are you ready for some football?
Or, no. Of course, in other places, it wouldn't be preempted by college football because they never have college football on at 5 in the morning.
Yes, in Dallas, Fort Max. Not everybody lives in Dallas.
Thankfully.
Yes, it would be a much worse place to live if everybody lived in Dallas.
If that's even possible.
And no, Mickey, I'm never ready for some football.
You sure?
Yes.
There's the song and everything.
Don't mind the song.
On Facebook this evening, we got the first picture of the non-Sentai Gold Samurai costume and morpher.
Which is definitely not a sushi changer.
No, it's definitely not a sushi changer.
Sad it's XV. Definitely that silver phone we saw at Toy Fair a few months ago.
I am definitely not surprised.
Yeah, I'm not really that surprised either. Makes me more happy I got a sushi changer, though. Because really, who doesn't want a phone that's a big sushi?
Bandai of America, evidently.
I don't have a phone that's a big piece of tempura.
I can see why a phone modeled after sushi might not appeal to the target audience for Power Rangers Samurai. You know.
Or maybe make any sense to anyone.
They should have reworked it into a hot dog phone. Kids love hot dogs in America.
Or a taco phone or a hamburger phone.
Oh, a taco phone. They could just use an N-Gage.
No, they want to sell.
I'm sure there's one lying around they could find for pretty cheap.
Yeah, probably more than one. Oh, N-Gage. That was the quickest 5 minutes ever.
That's what she said.
And of course, the way that you hold it wasn't even the worst decision with the design.
So what was the worst decision with the design?
To change games, you had to remove the battery.
Right, I forgot that part. Yes. Well, everybody screws up royally once. Then they get fired and it never happens again. We can only assume that happens this time.
Or they blame someone else who gets fired.
Either way, somebody loses their job and everybody goes on happy.
It was the worst portable game system since Tiger's GameCom.
Ooh.
What about the Virtual Boy?
That wasn't really portable.
Yeah, I was going to say.
It is portable.
It's portable like a portable TV is portable.
Or a portable toilet.
You can lug it around, but you're not going to shove it in your pocket and go to work with it.
I'm just envisioning trying to shove a portable toilet in your pocket to go to work with.
It's just a seat with a bag taped to one end.
Kind of like your mom.
Well, why even bother with the seat? Just get a colostomy bag.
God, that'd be a time saver.
And it would cut down on the hemorrhoids, too.
Seriously. So you don't have to cut down on the hemorrhoids.
Right. So anyway,
should we mention the new Voltron show?
No.
Damn.
There is one?
Yes.
Is it really going to be good?
No.
It's Voltron. There's your answer.
Touché.
Well, wasn't like Voltron 3D really awesome?
It was awesome in that I remember it.
Well, yeah, but what don't you remember?
Actual episodes of the show.
What?
Tim I remember Kirk. Selling the toys.
So, were the toys the best part of it?
No, they were pretty shitty looking.
Oh.
And, well, that makes them accurate to the show.
I'm
Fair enough.
Right next to the War Planets toys that no one bought.
Oh, poor War Planets. I understand that was an okay show.
Some people think so, anyway.
It was made by Mainframe in their heyday, so I'm willing to concede that it was probably good, but I just don't give a shit.
So when does this Voltron start?
June, apparently.
Hmm. The trailer only just came up after an extremely long Thor ad.
When does Thundercats start?
Who cares?
I do. Oh, it's CGI. That's disappointing.
I don't really like the way this looks.
It looks like the same animation studio that did the Hot Wheels Battle Force 5 show.
Yeah, and that's not a good thing to say about it.
Actually, I really liked the way that show looked.
Really?
I didn't give it the show itself, but I thought it had a nice style to it.
Did it look anything like NASCAR racers?
I was just going to say, that's kind of what it reminded me of. And
no,
actually, that's sort of what this reminds me of.
The Hot Wheels show's got some nice texturing in it that I like. It gives everything sort of a pastel kind of vibe, I guess. I don't know. It's hard to describe.
Well, I'm sure I'll watch one or two episodes of this and then never actually see another one because it'll always appear to just be reruns of the first two episodes 5 or 6 times a day.
Isn't that what people say about Power Rangers in general?
And most of the time it's true. Actually, that's kind of the experience I had also with the Iron Man Armored Adventures cartoon.
Yes.
Which, I mean, it's a good show. It was just hard to actually catch a new episode of it. Or Avatar, for that matter. That seems to be kind of a problem Nick has in general, where there's so many reruns, you kind of lose track of where the new episodes air.
That's why I watch everything on DVD.
And that's why I watch everything in other formats.
There you go.
Yeah. It works out better that way, because then I don't get it cropped by my stupid little satellite box, and sometimes I get HD. Yay, HD. I have such a beautiful HD TV. It's not big, but it's really nice looking. What do you got, Mickey, like a 40-inch?
Yeah, I think it's 40.
If I had a bigger room, I totally would have wanted a 40. As it is, I think a 32 will do.
If I got anything bigger, I'd have to get to an entertainment center, and that's not going to happen. Because my entertainment center is too awesome to change out.
Your mom's an entertainment center.
I entertain myself in your mom's center.
Right.
For a nickel.
Yes, but I don't think no 40 inches was involved that time.
Maybe her waist about size.
Maybe that's her shoe size.
Yeah. That's the distance around her wrist. She wears a belt for a wristwatch. So, happily this week we were treated to no new episode of Power Rangers Samurai.
Yay.
Instead, we get to build up our anticipation and excitement for the introduction of the Gold Samurai Ranger next week.
Whoa.
Allegedly. So, in that case, why don't we jump on to our other regular shows? Pirates,
Go
anyone?
Kyger?
Sounds like pirates to me.
Yo ho, me mighties, it's time for Pirate Sentai action!
So in this episode, we find out that Milfy is a horrible, horrible cheat, and she's really good at it.
And
well,
the Marvelous
the
sucks
she
at
had
cards.
Money.
What, Mickey?
And the Marvelous sucks at cards.
Or is he just faking it? He is Marvelous, after all.
Well, that's true.
Maybe if he was playing seriously, he would also be better.
Though granted, he's also getting pissed off at the bird.
He's always pissed off at the bird.
Well, getting more pissed off than usual.
He's just distracted, that's what it is.
Yeah. It's just because somebody dealt the cards badly. Besides, he's Marvelous. He doesn't have to be good at cards.
He's good at everything else.
Yeah, he's good at shooting a gun. That's all that matters in a card game. But this was a pretty good episode of Gokaiger, I think.
Yeah, it was very card-themed.
I have to say one of the highlights of the episode was Milfy and Joe sneaking onto the Green Zangak ship in
with
their
the best
disguise
ever.
Yes.
Yes, that was quite excellent.
And
costumes
also
that, that Saban could actually make on its budget. Just go down to the cookware section of Walmart and get a few buckets and some Sharpies.
Except Saban could only afford one of them.
Well, that's what compositing is for. So what were you saying,
Mickey? Just the costume back and forth. You don't ever see them in the same shot.
Right. Well, yeah, but if you only have one costume and you're trading it back and forth, why even bother to trade it back and forth?
Because they're too cheap to edit the film. They got to film it all sequentially.
But they could still film it all sequentially with one stunt actor.
quiet you.
But yeah, card themed. And a funky looking monster.
The monster comes to win their freedom.
Was kind of boring, I thought.
I suppose a little bit.
Well, but still, it's going to be hard to top the Sneak Brothers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially the little one, that was funny. But yeah, some of us finally sort of got our wish, but not really in the spirit of it.
Right. I mean, if they were going to do the standard, just explosion version of the Big Bomber, at least there should have been some holes in the monster's chests.
And preferably a cardboard cutout of the monster rather than
yes.
the actual monster.
And then them being sent flying up through use of loop
obvious
footage.
Wires.
Yeah.
They blew their extra budget on the dump troop cosplay.
They blew the low budget portion of the episode on the dump troop costumes, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a somewhat large bomber, but not really a big bomber. Mm. Medium bomber, perhaps.
Points for copying all the moves, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looked even hokier in modern Sentai.
Especially since it looked like they had the camera aimed too high.
You mean standing too high?
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like half of the formation footage was just the bottom, was just on the bottom half of the screen.
Yeah, because in the actual Jack episodes, or at least the ones included in the compilation video we've referenced on YouTube before.
That is no longer there.
What?
Well, that's sad. I wonder if I saved that. But anyway.
I have it on my hard drive.
Well, that's good. But in that video, most of the formation shots were an upward angle, not looking downward, weren't they?
Or it may have looked like it was done at a upward angle, except that they were doing that. It was too much of an upward angle.
Look, either way, they did, all this angle talk is.
Yeah.
Right.
Either way,
they didn't get it quite right, and it didn't really have the right feel to it.
Yeah, but of course, also they probably didn't have as much time to do as many takes to get it just right because it's something they'd be using just one episode.
What they really should have done, though, when they were doing that is digitally put a 70s film grain over it.
At that point, you might as well just use the old footage.
Or that, too, because then we would have got the hole in the monster cut out.
Yeah, and especially since...
They should have shot a baby at him.
And especially since in Jack, whenever they loaded the missile in the Big Bomber, it was always on the same exact place, no matter where they were actually doing it.
Well, like most super weapon shots, you know, it was stock footage.
All right, but usually that will be in an area that you won't usually have your stock footage on a grassy patch of land.
Well, it was the 70s. They hadn't learned anything then.
True.
You gotta make some concessions here, Fort Max.
Yeah.
But yes, I think there was some not undeserved disappointment with the Big Bomber this time around.
You know, it was basically a Jack-themed episode, but they didn't get the new treasure at the end of it.
Well, what treasure could they have from Jack?
Put a new cannon in Gokaio and call it Really Big Bomber?
You shoot big babies?
I mean, Jack didn't even have a giant robot, did they?
Nope.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one.
Of course, they did have giant vehicles.
Oh. Well, that
didn't
can
they
still
have like
work.
A hot air balloon or something?
That was Go Ranger.
I really hope that the Go Ranger lesson has to do with the hot air balloon.
But yeah, probably the first two series did have giant battles in the same way that... like VR troopers and stuff had battleship sequences.
Ah.
Minus the transforming, though, but...
Well, that's not quite as fun.
Yeah.
So Battle Fever J was the first one to have a transforming Megazord type deal?
Yeah. Because that was the first one after Spider-Man.
Yeah. Battle Fever J was the first... was technically the first Super Sentai, because Go Ranger and Jack were added to the list retroactively later on.
Yeah.
They were grandfathered in.
No, Battle Fever J didn't have combining mecha.
Well, at that point, they caved and bought a new suit because they knew they weren't going to find the old one.
So it was the first one that had combining mecha then.
The one after Battle Fever J.
Which was...
Hold on, let me skip to the end of this episode and I can tell you.
Well, that is what the end song is good for.
Genji Man?
Denji Man.
Whatever. Or was it Sun Vulcan?
Sun Vulcan was the one... was the second one to have combining mecha.
I think Sun Vulcan's 5. Let's see. Here, I'm at it now.
Yeah.
Battle Fever and Denji Man.
No, Sun Vulcan is V.
No, Goggle V.
So Denji Man.
Old jokes. Denji Man, the Sentai nobody remembers.
Hailing from the planet Denji, our Denji Man.
Yeah.
Which is also specifically set in the same universe as Sun Vulcan.
Denji Man's costumes are all stripey.
But yeah,
not all Sentai costumes look alike.
Yeah, and yet, recurring villains is also a recurring villain in Sun Vulcan. So,
yeah, I don't think it was later on until all the Sentai were supposed to take place in separate continuities, except for the Versus movies.
They learned a little bit about it as they went along.
Well, there's a process over the course of 35 years.
Yeah, though, granted, the first Versus movie was Jack vs. Go Ranger, and then they didn't do another one till
Kaku Ranger vs. O Ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's too bad there wasn't a Jew Ranger vs. Die Ranger, because that would have been really interesting to see how they would have worked with that footage.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm still upset that the Ancient Rangers storyline from Lost Galaxy never happened.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stuff in there that from that show that I'm kind of upset never happened.
Like what?
Well, there's that episode that was nearly finished that they had to reportedly scrap because Cassie's actor left.
Yeah, I remember a little bit about that.
And also all that stuff showed in the Next Time clips that also never happened.
Well, that's kind of less important than the whole episode that got scrapped.
Yeah.
I don't remember what that Cassie episode was about, though. Perhaps you could fill me in here, Fort Max.
I don't know what it was about either.
Wasn't there some description of it, even a brief one?
I'm not sure.
Thanks a lot, Fort Max.
Do I look like Bonzo to you?
I don't know. I don't know what you look like. But yeah, Gokaiger was pretty awesome.
Of course, also we get a good line from Giles. You know who my father is?
Ah, yes. Commander Nepotism. Nice to see the patterns holding up. So, next time on Gokaiger, we meet a Shinkanger.
Hooray.
But not the one you expect.
It's kind of surprising that they got her to come back for this.
Oh, they meet Jaden?
No, not him.
Oh.
That would be funny, though. If a little confusing.
So they're getting Red Bitch to show back up?
Yes. And she wants to take back the Shinkanger powers from them.
Oh, what a surprise.
I guess that's a natural reaction.
I don't think it's completely unreasonable, either.
It seems like most people they meet want their powers back.
Or should.
But instead everyone they meet, don't really care, just, no, you're not getting my Zord.
My toy. Not sharing.
It works hard to steal that treasure.
Yeah. Did we know before this episode that the Sue Gorman could talk?
No.
That's what I thought.
Well, also, I liked Dawn's little... that instead of using a bucket, Dawn has a motorcycle mask and sunglasses. Well, motorcycle helmet.
Notice the sunglasses didn't pick out the motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
Well, Doc's a little bit different. Well, didn't Marvelous have the whole face cut out of his bucket?
I'm not sure.
That would arguably be a slightly worse disguise than the disguise already is.
Well, here's the thing. the guys you're infiltrating and wanting to disguise themselves from are mooks. They're not going to be all that bright.
Yeah, the dump troops are a little bit dumb. And apparently they're not good card players either.
They have no trust in the heart of the cards.
That's terrible.
I don't get it.
So are we.
I could be wrong, but I believe that was a Yu-Gi-Oh! Joke. And thus, you know, terrible. So, should we move on to O's then?
Come on.
Well, I was not expecting that ending.
I was.
Why, did you watch it end to start?
Well, no, when they showed this week's episode's preview last week with the shot of Age of the Purple Eyes, I knew that was going to be the last thing that happened in this episode.
Yeah, that would stand to reason because they always show a new form if a new form shows up.
Because
Japan has a thing against surprises.
But even if it was a new form, I knew that shot of him with the purple eyes being all
zonked out. Of course, the
out.
One thing not shown is Uva doing something kind of sort of interesting.
Yeah.
Well, no, actually, I've been thinking about this, and Uva's plot to amass cell metals is efficient, I guess.
And also particularly brilliant, because if he's not sending yummies out to attack, that means
nobody knows
he's not
what
going
he's doing.
To get his ass handed to him by the riders, and
right.
therefore lose all his medals.
Right, that's why it's an efficient plan,
yeah.
But it's not an especially interesting plan. It's still fairly boring Uva stuff.
Yes, it's but it's still brilliant. I think Uva actually is probably the most genre-aware character in the entire series.
Well,
to a point, anyway.
He's smarter than the cat. That's not a far trip.
He realized that plugging a whole bunch of metals into himself would make him go crazy, so he decided not to do that.
And decided that, well, simply the going attacking and caught with monsters, not going to work. Instead, going to a
let's
bunch
do some
of
accounting.
Collectors and
see, that's why this is still a boring Uva plan, because he's doing it via accounting.
Yes, but still going to debt collectors. First of all, who's going to care?
Yeah. It would be nice if they reveal a little later on that he's got several of these operations running around the city simultaneously.
Yeah. He would have to have that many medals already.
Well, either that or the whole time he's been missing, he's been collecting the medals that way.
It's kind
That's
of probably kind of like how why kind of probably similar on why you didn't see Cake Boss for so long.
Yeah.
Because he was in Europe?
He was off in Europe. Doing plot stuff.
Yeah, he was getting new plot devices for the show. Yeah.
Except Uva didn't show up again in a feather boa.
No, because that would have been interesting.
Although, speaking of good old Kogami, man, he hates carpet.
Why the f*** did he just pour the wine out like that?
He realized it wasn't cake.
Well, he could have put it into the cake.
No, you put rum in a cake, not wine.
Well, I assume he was pouring one out for all those cell medals that he had. Well, all those core medals that Maki took.
It wasn't for his dead homies?
And there wasn't any Satanaka around to see it either.
Well, she'll be cleaning it up next
cared.
Episode.
She might not care because, you know, now that she has Goto as an assistant, it would fall on him to clean it.
Yeah,
she
just pawned it off on him.
Yeah.
No, actually, it would probably be Mook's job.
If Mook even still works there.
Well, he probably does.
We don't even know
We're
how
never gonna
incontinuity...
see him again, but...
Well, yeah, we don't even know how in continuity those episodes technically are, so he may not have ever worked there to start with, depending how strict you want to be about it.
Right.
You know, if you're like a stickler for rules and things.
I play by my own rules.
Yeah. Yeah, the wine thing was kind of a thing. On the other hand, that's the same reaction I have to wine, so.
And the same reaction the doctor has.
Your wine's not terribly great.
It seems a little overblown to me.
I think the problem is it tastes like grapes, and grapes are disgusting.
I'm okay with grapes. just not when they taste like vinegar.
So the big shocker this time is that the Foundation had all 10 of the purple medals.
Yes, a complete set.
That's one of the plot devices that Kogami got from Europe. Apparently there's a whole mess of greed-related stuff in Europe. Maybe that's where they were originally created.
You'd think they would have been created in America.
Well, 800 years ago, what was in America?
Nobody.
Not a lot.
That's a good point.
Native Americans.
Yeah, what are they good for?
I'm not sure greed Smallpox. Was one of their motivating factors.
And maybe casinos, but yeah, that's about it.
Well, okay, that's a valid point.
Now we've gone and alienated all of our Native American fans.
We had some.
We had fans.
Heck if I know. I have no idea what kind of demographics we're working with.
Not the way we're going.
Native American.
What, Fort Max?
Is Barricade Native American? If so, we probably just lost him.
Okay, then.
No, he's got no self-respect. He'll be back.
Well, yeah, I mean, if we can say this kind of stuff about him when he's actually here and he's still willing to come back, I don't think saying this stuff about him when he's not here is going to have any impact either way. Hi, Barricade. How you doing? So, yeah, a whole set of 10 purple medals, which apparently don't wake up in a form of greed because there are all 10 medals.
They look so nice. I'm sure they wouldn't miss if I just took one. What could possibly go wrong?
Everything.
Of course, when they take one medal away to try to wake the greed up, it doesn't exactly work as they planned.
Well, it's not like... Well, did they actually destroy it?
I don't know. It seems like it might not have ever been awake to start with.
I think that's what the point was with the other medals, that you had to destroy one of the 10, not just remove it.
Well, it actually, I thought it was that it was they were already formed but weren't doing anything.
Yeah, that's kind of how I took the backstory.
So that it's like you already had the 4 greed, well, the 5 greed existing. They just, they were basically being us.
So here's the question that I got from this. Maybe I'm just reading into it, but did they ever state that the original O's was human?
Well, I think that was part of the backstory from the previous episode. Did you watch last week's episode?
Yeah, but I don't remember. Did they specifically say that he was human? Or did they just say he was a king?
All they said was king.
Yeah, I kind of just took king to imply that he was
What if he was the 10th greed? Or what if he was a greed himself?
Well, then where are his medals?
The purple ones.
Well, if
they weren't in the coffin...
Right, if he was
they weren't
the purple...
They weren't in the him coffin.
Yeah, if he was the purple greed, then the medals should have been there with all the other ones. Not, you know, in Europe.
Okay,
so apparently that's just another set they never got around to turning into a monster man. Maybe there's some extra step in the process to actually, you know, make something out of medals.
They might try explaining it a little more next time.
They probably will. Or eventually.
And especially if they decide to bring Mezzel and Gamel back later on, you know, they'd have to explain how you, you know, start up a greed out of a bunch of medals. Because I still don't think that death was permanent. It doesn't seem like a greed's death could be permanent unless you actually do destroy more medals.
They actually mentioned those two for the first time in a long time in this episode.
Yeah.
Acknowledgement that they existed.
But nobody really cares.
Especially given who's acknowledging it.
Yeah, boring. So yeah, all those nice purple medals, or at least, you know, 5 or 6 of them, go flying off and embed themselves in Eiji's chest.
5 of them.
But yeah, they go and, you know, ram themselves into Eiji's chest. That's not going to be harmful or anything, right?
Exactly.
That's going to leave a mark.
And also, for the first time in a long time, this episode had a change in O's medal lineup.
Yeah. Well, it makes sense since, you know, he's getting a whole new set.
Well, and also, picked up some of the medals that Uva had, and Uva took one of Ankh's, so...
Yeah, I think Ankh ended up with... one Gamel medal and one Mezzel medal.
Yeah.
No, he got back two Gamma medals.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a complete set for Sagozo now.
Okay, I didn't watch the chart at the end.
I didn't understand why at first, but then I remembered that the Sagozo figure art just came out.
Oh, well, there you go. That's nice subtle advertising for you.
Exactly.
It makes sense, though, that they waited to change medals around till now because Kazali's not, you know, letting those medals get out.
Yeah.
So.
You know what else hasn't been around since it was introduced? The Tiger Ride vendor.
Or O's sword. That cuts buildings in half.
Though we do get a new Candroid.
Yeah.
The Snarl Candroid.
A new little friend for Date.
Slag.
No, yeah. That's offensive.
Only to our British listeners. Hi, Cassius.
Yeah, British listeners.
At least one.
Yeah, listeners.
Actually, yeah, off the top of my head, I know we have at least four listeners that aren't us.
What are you talking about? There's no one in the world out there that's not us.
What a sad, sad world.
Tim Curry.
So yeah, the most interesting thing is from the preview of next week where they're suggesting that the purple core metals are trying to turn AG into a greed.
Which is frightening.
It's certainly interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting way to animate a new greed. Maybe that's what they had to do to make the other ones back then.
Oh, something that y'all missed last week.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, when second Ankh becomes the kid.
Yeah.
They showed exactly what's happening there, as they are copying someone else's form. They're not killing them or replacing them or stealing their body.
Oh, right.
So that answers that question that I had.
Yeah. Too bad. Be more interesting if they were killing the people to wear their skins.
Yeah.
But I can kind of see why they wouldn't go that way.
Yeah, people tend to get kind of weirded out when you have kids killed.
Yeah.
And
I don't know why. It's not like they're good for
anything. And especially given Mazul's form and also what her medals give O's.
Right.
Water powers?
Exactly, that's it.
Oh, and the theme for the restaurant this week is school.
Cherry Blossom Festival.
Yeah.
So school.
Yeah. Yeah, the cherry blossoms in the restaurant were kind of nice looking, but the costumes needed work.
Look, the costumes look more North Korean army.
No, they're more stylish than that.
Nice.
Okay, the buzz laugh is...
What?
What?
Mickey's buzz laugh.
I didn't hear it.
Your buzz laugh.
I buzz laughed your mom.
Your mom needs a buzz. Cut.
I need a buzz.
Yeah, why aren't you buzzed?
Because I just finished eating.
So?
No, that's your excuse for everything.
So you don't drink after you eat a big meal. It soaks it all up and you just waste the booze.
So why didn't you drink a bunch before you ate?
Because I was driving around town.
So?
Oh, good point, yes. Why didn't I think of that?
It's the best argument ever. So?
That's us.
Well, I guess that's about all we have to say about O's for this week.
Really looking forward
to
listening.
See you next week.
So, who watched Ghost Ager versus Shinkanger?
I did a while back.
I did.
Well, what did you guys think of that?
I thought it was appropriate that the Shinkangers were freaked out by the Ghost Agers a lot.
In more ways than one.
Yes.
And they spent most of the time talking down to them, too. I appreciated that a lot.
They did that quite well.
Yes. And actually, I think this is my favorite Blade Run form, too.
Blade Run of the Nylock?
Chimatsuri Blade Run. And then, you know, stuff happened and stuff.
And, well, really and the Gokhydra showed up and made stuff more flashy than usual because it was a movie.
Right.
And I liked how Daigoyo was the only one to witness them, too.
And then they killed Squid Guy.
Yes.
Again.
Did Daigo-Yo and Deus Hyper team up in robot forms?
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
Briefly.
In the sense that all the mecha were being, that all the giant things were being used.
They got smacked down pretty quick, though. They are sort of weak.
They're very weak.
And then the special super combination for the Versus movie was just Hyper Gosei Great with
some red.
With Gosei Knight header.
Headers, technically.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it was Hyper Gosei Great wearing the Ground Lion header for its head.
And those other two headers that Gosei Knight had.
So it's not all that special.
Yeah.
And they didn't even bring the ostrich back. What's wrong with them?
It's Gosager.
Yeah.
Everything's wrong with them.
I think the ostrich figured out how f***ed up they are and ran back to Tirnanog.
But evil Takeru was kind of cool.
Well, he's Takeru.
And evil.
Which is better than ever.
The black super Shinkanger coat thing looks better on the costume than the white one. But then black goes with everything.
Especially your mom.
It's slimming.
No, that's not possible in your mom.
Black hole. That's very slimming.
Not for your mom. She just plugged the damn thing.
That could be one of the best your mom jokes. Your mom's so fat she plugs a black hole. So yeah, Gosager versus Shinkanger is a thing that happened, and some of us actually wasted time on it.
Some of us knew better.
Well. What, Paladin?
Much like Gosager.
Yes, but you were the only one who actually wasted time on the complete series.
Why did you do that?
I have no idea.
I can kind of understand I can kind of understand the motivation once you've gotten so far into the series that you just want to go ahead and see it through the whole way. Fortunately, I was not taken by that same desire. And really, I wish I would have gotten off of it sooner.
Your mom got off of it.
Your mom can't get off of anything.
She gets off of it on everything, though.
Just by moving.
No, I think after the black hole joke, everything's just a step down from there.
Your mom stepped down from there.
So anything else we want to talk about before we go to break?
No, I think that's all that matters this time.
Okay. Well, up next is a review from Paladin, and then we'll be back with the final Superhero Time Twitter Theater ever.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna, and do you like video games? Do you like people who like video games? Well, if so, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. It's the weekly video game podcast of record. News, rumors, in-depth discussion of new and retro gaming, plus the occasional contest or giveaway. So if you game, you gotta listen to New Soundwave. Check us out at tfradio.net, a proud member of the Transformers Internet Radio Network.
The third strike, you're on a Street Fighter 3.
What exactly are you doing? Dex?
From Beast Wars to Zeta Gundam, FigureReviews.com features a library of in-depth action figure reviews and high-quality photography reaching back to 2005.
XV and RAC carefully evaluate each figure and rate it on a non-numerical scale ranging from state-of-the-art to shoot-yourself, using a special formula based on years of toy reviewing experience.
Text, photos, video, audio. Informative awesome in every format. FigureReviews.com.
Welcome once again to Paladin's Place, preferred provider of mechanized melee.
Ready for a sequence has been initiated.
This week's Twitter Theater introduces us to the Quantasaurus Rex, the personal zord of the Quantum Ranger in Power Rangers Time Force. I'm taking this moment to offer my perspective on the Q-Rex in terms of merchandising, starting with the version most people are familiar with, the deluxe electronic Quantasaurus Megazord. First thing most people will notice, this Quantasaurus Zord toy is huge. This is easily one of the biggest single Zords ever made. The primary cause of the size in this release comes from the related electronic gimmicks. Q-Rex features a remote-controlled transformation in addition to the near-traditional set of light and sound gimmicks. The Quantasaurus Zord can transform from Rex to Megazord mode through a roleplay-esque Quantum Morpher that is included with the release. In the original Time Ranger, this Morpher toy operated with voice commands.
Q-Rex, obey my commands! Quantasaurus Rex, I order you to stop!
Checking voice match. Voice identification confirmed.
But in the American release, they streamlined it to simple push-button operations. Probably for the better. The kindest thing I can say about this Q-Rex is that it's very visually impressive. The toy design almost perfectly captures the in-show appearance. The same motors that allow for remote-controlled transformation let Q-Rex walk, or roll as the case may be, into action along flat surfaces. Both arms of the Quantasaurus Megazord have launching gimmicks. The left one contains a flying fist attack, while the right arm ends in a rotating six-missile carousel. Unfortunately, in terms of overall play value, the deluxe Quantasaurus Megazord is pretty lousy. The heavy transformation gears make up virtually the entire lower half of its body, even though transformation when triggered is only limited to movement in the upper half. With a design so heavily focused on electronics, there is always the fear that eventually the mechanisms will wear out and make this Q-Rex useless. That, plus the fact that electronic-based Zords always rate higher sticker prices, means that I cannot rightly recommend this giant Quantasaurus to anyone. I'm not sure fans would get nearly enough enjoyment out of an overly gimmicked toy like this to justify the extreme cost nowadays. But thankfully, there is an alternative available. A second Q-Rex toy, this one without electronics, came out towards the end of the Time Force series run. To be honest, I haven't found much information available regarding the second Quantasaurus mold. At the moment, I can only assume that this version was exclusive to the American series. It basically takes out all the mechanics and everything from the first deluxe release and just offers what most fans probably wanted in the first place, an affordable representation of the awesome Q-Rex design. There are certain sacrifices to the Quantasaurus in this smaller scale. The transformation is not entirely show accurate, and the right-hand launcher consists of a single missile pod rather than multiple projectiles. However, these are relatively minor changes, and I can forgive them based on the fact that this version of the Quantasaurus is actually fun to play with. While the deluxe electronic Q-Rex may be an overpriced piece of junk, the secondary Quantasaurus release is one of my all-time favorite Megazords, and one of the very few times where an American version has proved superior to the original toy's release. Sadly, because of difficult distributions, the smaller Q-Rex was somewhat hard to find at the time and is now hardly ever available for sale anywhere. But if any Time Force fans are indeed able to find this version of it, I would strongly recommend adding it to your collection. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more Superhero Time.
So, this is the final Twitter Theater for Superhero Time, because starting next week it's going to be Superhero Time Power Playback,
which is a much better name.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't think of it sooner.
Because it's us.
Yeah, well.
And now we've got a better name than RFC.
No name is ever going to be better than RFC.
Well, I meant for our what to watch this week thing.
Oh. Well, that's
the Power Playback is way more relevant than Twitter Theater.
Yes. Well, you know, we did start out being the Power Rangers and Toku equivalent of RFC. Because, really, the way we started out was not dissimilar to RFC in 1999.
What, nobody listened? And we didn't know what the hell we were doing?
Yes.
Do we know what the hell we're doing now?
More than we did before.
Not much improvement.
Well, we've at least learned not to do Armor Heroes again.
Or Godzilla.
Or Mystic Knights.
Or Sailor Moon.
Hey, Sailor Moon
was Sailor Moon again.
What could we do with Sailor Moon again that we didn't do the first time?
Well, you could watch it.
Again, what could we do with Sailor Moon this time that we didn't do the last time? And of course, we've also figured out some other things that we'll never ever do, like Digimon Frontier.
Why not?
Shin Kamen Rider.
Why not?
What was one of the ones you wanted to do, Fort Max?
Tattoo Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills?
No, one of the other ones.
Shider?
Yeah, we're not doing that.
What's wrong with Metal Heroes?
Mickey, did you have one that you wanted to do that I turned down?
Are you sensing a pattern yet?
I don't think so. I know we're never doing Saban's Masked Rider ever again.
Well, yeah, but that wasn't by my choice.
That's really why you missed last week, isn't it? So you wouldn't have to watch an aspect of that again.
No, he probably didn't even remember that was part of that episode of Time Force.
Honestly, I've only seen like two episodes of Time Force.
Well, that's a shame. Are the two episodes of Time Force the episodes we're watching this week?
No, I watched the first two, and now I've watched these two.
Oh.
So that's four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which ones were better?
I think what he meant, though, is that on his own, he's only ever watched two episodes of Time Force.
Yeah.
Of his own volition.
But I liked them.
Well, his Saban's Masked Rider detection's just that good, then.
Cat, I will destroy you.
What?
He's attempting to sink his claws into my forearm because he's bored.
What, Fort Max?
No, the cat.
Oh, okay. That was the word I missed.
Maybe Saban's Masked Rider is what causes the massive vomiting.
You know, I heard the I will destroy you part, and I thought you were responding to Fort Max because he was the last one who spoke.
Well, I'll do that too, but for different reasons.
Right. What? Oh, right. We were doing Twitter theater.
Yeah, Time Force's big red dick.
No, that was last week.
No, he's still a big red dick.
Yeah, he totally is.
Well, yeah. But this week it's about the big red dick Zord, the Q-Rex.
Which probably also has its big red dick.
The Q-Rex isn't a big red dick. It's big, but it's not red, very red, and it's not much of a dick.
Yeah, it's more silver. But yeah, it's such a big Zord that it took two episodes to introduce.
And whereas it's still lame.
If it was today's Power Rangers, it would be introduced in like 5 minutes. You know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, the old longer series took time to do things longer.
Yeah, they really got your excitement up for when shit was actually going to happen.
Or they at least took longer doing it.
Of course, also, they didn't have to introduce new toys every other week.
Well, they sort of did. Sometimes they even introduced toys that were not coming out in the American marketplace. Remember that whole episode focusing on the Electro Booster?
Yeah, actually.
Where was that toy?
In Japan.
I've completely forgotten
what that is.
It's the attachments for the Chrono Saber that turn it into a rifle.
You know, where they put the gun parts on the sword?
Mm.
It was in the last yellow suitcase.
Oh.
Let me find you a picture of it. That'll probably jog your memory.
Jog your mom's memory.
I actually do have a toy of that I was able to get a few years ago. It's a little small. Not the first time
I've seen it. It's a Japanese roleplay toy.
Some Japanese roleplay toys are, proper sized.
Yeah, but that's for a different kind of roleplay.
Haha.
No, those are probably still going to be pretty small considering they're made for Japan.
Oh, that was fantastic, you guys. But yeah, there's the Electro Booster. Cool looking, a little bit small as a toy. Although I imagine the Vortex Blaster was even more disproportionately small.
Mm.
Probably.
Did that have an American toy?
Which one's the Vortex Blaster?
The combined weapon.
I don't know.
Well, in any case, well, I know we got the Chrono Sabers and the American original Chrono Blaster. Because in Time Ranger, they did not have a pistol sidearm.
What do they shoot people with?
Cannons? I don't know. Maybe they just hit them with swords.
Yeah, let's see. Chrono Bellbeard. Yeah, the Vortex Deluxe Vortex Blaster.
Okay, so it was just the Electro Booster we didn't get.
And the Quantum Badge.
Well, who even cares about those badge toys?
And the Deluxe Transwarp Megazord and Time Base and the
We talked about that last week.
But we didn't talk about it enough.
Obviously. Forgot where I was going with that. Oh yeah, introducing new toys.
Well, yes, they start off by introducing a jet toy.
yes, they do.
Which comes out of friggin' nowhere.
It comes out of Eric's ass.
It's kind of goofy.
I'm surprised it could fit.
Well, remember, Eric is a colossal asshole in addition to being a big red dick.
Yes, but I'm surprised it could open wide enough to emit the jet.
What, haven't you ever seen Goatsy?
I think they're too young for that.
Nobody's too young for Goatsy. I know Fort Max knows Goatsy. Heck, Fort Max might be Goatsy for all we know.
Yeah, that'd be a great screen name to use on the forums.
What, Goatsy?
Yeah. It's just not for the forums, so that is your screen name. It's not technically offensive, but...
I wonder how many forums out there have that filtered out.
Pretty sure it offends me. But I don't think that
even
counts.
Better. But yes, in the first 5 minutes of the episode, we're treated to the introduction of the Time Force Eagle.
Which, why it's called the Time Force Eagle, who knows?
It flies. That's good enough.
But it's called the Time Force Eagle so that you don't confuse it with the Lightspeed Rescue Eagle or the Power Rangers in Space Eagle. Who is
Excuse me?
That's still the Time Force Eagle, but the Quantum Ranger's not with the Time Force group.
But his equipment was developed by Time Force, and I imagine the Eagle comes with the Quantum Ranger equipment. There's also the fact that, you know, it's an American original production, so nobody was really thinking about it that much.
They were thinking about how much money they could get from it. That's about it.
Probably about $10.
Which is about all the budget they had for it, too.
Yeah. Well, yes, it was kind of a saving grace that most of it was CGI, except for the little bit where Wes was standing on it. But that was one of the cooler moments of the episode, where Wes jumps off a building before morphing to catch the thing.
And thankfully it worked.
Well, yes, that would have been a kind of short episode.
Yeah, he just gets to finish the rest of the trip when they get back.
Well, yes, and, you know, part one really helps to prove what a major dick Eric is.
Yeah.
Being that at least two times he tries to abandon him in the Triassic.
Or kill him.
Yeah, same difference.
No, directly kill him.
Oh, well.
You know the entire shooting at him?
Yeah, there was that.
And $10 is about the budget they had for dinosaur effects, too.
Yeah, I think they probably just went to a local theme park with animatronic dinosaurs.
Stole footage from Land of the Lost.
I was thinking that, too.
Are we talking about the dinosaur scene?
Yes, we are, Mickey.
I was on the phone there. That's why I had you on mute.
Can't you save your phone sex until after the show?
No.
I
thought the dinosaur scene looked really good.
Well, it did because they probably didn't have to provide the dinosaurs themselves. I was saying they probably went to a theme park to shoot for the day.
Well, I meant specifically the all the composite shots of the stop-motion dinosaur and all that.
Oh. Well,
I thought that's about as well as you could possibly do on Power Rangers.
It was better than Land of the Lost.
It may not have been stop-motion. It may have been animatronic thing that they filmed over in a museum or something.
Well, regardless of what it was actually made out of, the compositing of getting that matched in with the shot of the actual actors was handled pretty damn well.
It could have been a lot worse either way. I mean, they could have gone the T-Rex DuPont route. and just had a T-Rex head on legs.
Nah, they didn't have the budget for CGI for that.
No, not CGI, the costume for it.
That kind of CGI technology didn't exist yet.
No, all they had at that point was just to, you know, have a ship twist around. But no, the dinosaur parts came out pretty good. You know, even the stop motion part actually wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
It was way better than anything Power Rangers should have had.
Well, yeah, like I said, it was probably most of it is because Saban didn't have to make the thing.
Well, okay, here's some contrast as far as the dinosaur thing goes. Do you remember watching early in Dino Thunder when the T-Rex was chasing Tommy and the others in the Jeep down the road?
Yes.
That CGI dinosaur?
And that's why they should have just sent Tommy back to the past. He would have roundhouse kicked the damn thing.
Point being, though, the CGI dinosaur was much, much worse than this. So yeah, this was a lot better than it should have been.
It also wasn't a Super Sentai effect, which...
Right.
I've watched the first episode of Time Ranger, which recently subbed, and... Well, trying to do slow motion effects using the same models of cameras that you've been using since the 70s and doing the initial filming at normal speed.
No.
It's not going to look good.
And it didn't.
I'm not even sure what Fort Max just said.
Smile and nod.
But it's an audio medium, Mickey. He can't hear me smiling or nodding.
My point is, the effects that Super Sentai use for compositing always look like crap.
Well, it is Japan. They seem to have a problem with that.
Well, they
look at what their CGI looks like.
Using equipment that they bought in the 70s.
So anyway, we're basically in agreement that the dinosaur effects in this episode were better than Power Rangers should have looked in 2001.
Yes.
Yes.
And also, going back to the past there, apparently I didn't realize this, but gravity worked differently several million years ago. You can fall off, you know, 90-foot-tall cliffs unmorphed and be perfectly fine.
Oh, that was much higher than 90 feet.
Well, regardless.
Yeah. Well, you know, the Earth was a lot smaller back then.
It was before McDonald's, so it wasn't fat yet.
And before your mom.
Either that or the moon was a lot closer to the Earth, so it was canceling out some of Earth's gravity.
Oh, it was actually pulling him up, slowing the fall.
Right. Tidal forces, you know. One thing rewatching these episodes, somehow I was under the impression beforehand that they actually stated outright that the Q-Rex was destroyed in the past. That's why it wasn't around when Eric activated the Quantum Ranger powers. But that did not actually seem to be in the episode, or at least not this version.
Hmm.
And one thing they didn't really explain is, why is there a drawing of the Q-Rex in that cave?
Oh, it's from the cavemen that existed...
Well, they probably did get some of the footage from Land of the Lost, so...
But wasn't that a parallel dimension, not time travel?
He's right.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Well, maybe when they sent the Q-Rex back in time to begin with, they sent scientists back with it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. If it had a pilot and it wanted to tell people where Q-Rex was before it died.
They just neglected to mention that. Well, okay. If they didn't say outright that the Q-Rex was destroyed, you know, 150 million years ago, how/why did Eric decide or know to go back for it to that point?
And yet, like, a few episodes
because
later...
Because that's exactly where the monster was opening the wormhole to.
Okay, and how did the monster know?
Trial and
science. He used science.
Because they know... Because apparently Rancic knows more about Time Force than Time Force does.
Or at least the five of them.
Maybe it's connected to the time he went back in time with Wild Force.
No, because that was in the future.
But it happened in the past.
but in the future of the past.
So he left notes for himself.
The seeds of the future lie buried in the past.
Right, but when Rancic went back and teamed up with Wild Force, that was a year after Time Force, so he couldn't have.
But before he teamed up with them, though, he teamed up with the villains of that episode. The what are the shit they were called?
Yes, but that was in the year 2980.
But they
that
were
was
from
in the past of the future, and he
but
didn't
they came
time travel.
The
he was just, he didn't time or, travel there. He was just there because he was alive then.
You sure he didn't time travel?
Yes.
Or maybe he left. Or maybe he left notes for himself, for his future self. Well, for his self, evil self, to read in that one's present, or something.
We but why he wasn't evil
wobbly,
anymore?
Timey wimey.
I hate temporal mechanics.
I hate the Q-Rex.
Why?
Because it's doofy.
Only when it's in Megazord mode.
It looks totally like a guy just sort of bent over at the waist.
It is a guy bent over at the waist.
That does not look awesome.
It does it when there's a big dinosaur silly. Head on it. It does
if
when
it's
a big dinosaur
head
with more on it than a pair of legs sticking out from under it. That's what's
I'm
doofy.
I'm not saying it's the worst dinosaur costume we've ever got. I'm just saying it's not a very good one.
Well, it's a robot. Of course it's not going to look exactly right. I mean,
but it's
technically
barely in disguise.
Technically, in terms of design, it's supposed to be a guy bent over at the waist. Because
that's another problem, is that it doesn't really have much of a transformation now, does it?
It doesn't need one. It just stands up.
I know, that's dumb.
I mean, what do you want to do? Transform like Megatron?
That'd be nice.
That's a little advanced for Bandai, Mickey.
So you want it to shoot the missiles out of its ass?
Hell yes. Don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, I could go along with that one. I guess it could have transformed, like, the dinosaurs toys.
No, but seriously, I'd be happy if like, it did, like, a waist swivel or something and, like, had the feet flip around. But no, it just stands up.
And its arms fold from its back.
Which are totally not concealed at all.
Why do they need to be concealed?
It's a Megazord.
Because
they're not supposed to be
because
concealed.
Because that gives you an extra thing to do when you play with a toy.
Except you're not supposed to play with the toy like that. The toy is auto-transforming and motorized. Didn't you listen to Paladin's review?
You're supposed to play with the Morpher.
Yeah, it's a giant remote-controlled dinosaur robot Megazord toy.
Which, that also fires missiles.
Right.
That in itself, it makes it awesome.
I mean, it's a remote control thing that you can put on the ground and chase the cat with. That puts it one step above Titanus, who you have to just turn on and let go in a straight line and hope the cat doesn't turn left or right.
Or by yelling at the Morpher.
That's the Japanese version for it.
Well, true, but I never had that was one of the Zords that I didn't get. So.
Well, I didn't get it either because I didn't want to pay $70 for it. It barely even transformed.
I hate you all.
But still, with the Japanese toy, it's made even more awesome by yelling at the Morpher makes the toy do stuff.
Well, yeah. But going back to the episode, so they're in the past.
Part about this?
What?
Eric does all this time traveling shit in these episodes, and yet later on he's still shocked to learn that the Time Force Rangers come from the future.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the monster was the one opening the hole into the past, so it's not like, you know, he knew that his stuff was from a different time.
Well, he should have, the dumbass.
And speaking of things that come up in later episodes, this is only the first time the Q-Rex falls under somebody else's control.
Yeah, how many times does that actually happen in the series?
At least two, if you don't count the time that Wes uses it later.
Well, Wes was given
this show
with
that's great writing.
Well, I don't know about the second time, but, you know, the first time was part of the Sentai plot. Probably the second time was, too. So, yeah, great writing.
Well, which time?
What time?
The Q-Rex falling under someone's control, or was this with Wes getting the Morpher or not?
What?
Yes.
Oh, that's who.
But, yeah, you know, in this episode, Commandicon puts the thing on its forehead so he can control it with his joystick. And then, like, four episodes later,
someone uses Eric's voice, yeah.
Yeah, swipes the quantum morpher, I think.
Well, no, not
identity
swipes
the quantum. Theft in the year
3000. Yeah, well, does something involving involving mimicking Eric's voice, so...
Right, because the quantum morpher is an older technology than the chronomorpher, and doesn't have DNA recognition technology.
Just voice recognition.
Doesn't seem all that advanced for the year 3000, does it?
They got better at building Zords as time went on.
And also making sure that they would actually have someone to pilot them when they sent them back.
Well, no, you know, when they send the Time Force Megazord back, there's not a pilot in it at the time. They just kind of have to hope that it gets there at the right point.
Well, yeah, they punch it through rather than with the how they sent the Q-Rex back, which was having it run through.
Yeah, T-Rex failed because no one was there to punch it in the ass.
So what you're saying is that...
Well, there's a tail of the way.
If they would have had the Q-Rex thrown through the portal by the Transwarp
punched
Megazord...
the portal by the Transwarp Megazord, they wouldn't have lost it. But no, they just had it run through the portal.
Interesting theory. I wonder if there's any merit to that.
I think it's probably more telling. They sent something that was sort of alive on its own through the portal. With no one there to control it, and they wonder why they didn't come back.
Especially with no
time
travel.
It's like putting your car into drive and walking away from it.
Well, that and the Q-Rex doesn't actually have any time travel technology in it.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, well, apparently Big Red Dicks exist in the future, too.
I think we kind of talked about this a little bit last week.
Oh, yeah, there is a Big Red Dick in the future. He's the guy who keeps sending the time shadow back.
His name is Alex. He's not very happy to meet you. His name is Alex, and he just kicked you in the crotch.
Repeat.
Was there a toy made of the eagle?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, of course there was. Okay.
That's the entire reason it was in the show.
Right.
I just don't remember what it looked like.
It looked like in the show.
Well, you know what I mean.
Rarely.
More often than we know what Fort Max means. Yeah, it looks like it did in the show, but maybe with a little bit more colors. And an exclusive Quantum Ranger figure that I can't tell what's
okay,
different about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I remember that thing now.
I do remember there was that deluxe playset thing that came with the exclusive Rancic figure, though.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then there was one of those for Wild Force 2, which either came with an exclusive Master Org or Shayla, I forget which. I'm sure Fort Max is digging up a picture of that right now. Because that's just what he does.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the episodes. Part 1 was really the more notable of the two episodes because of all the different ways Eric tried to kill and or abandon Wes in the Triassic period.
Yeah.
But he just wouldn't let him die for some reason.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that.
I think what it is, they realized he could continue to be a dick to him if he saved his life.
Because if he's dead, it's kind of hard to be a dick to him.
Yeah. His fun ends when Wes dies.
Yeah. I can kind of see that, actually. Plus, you know, it's fun to torment him and leave him standing on a crumbling piece of ground to think he's going to die and then pick him up at the last second.
Okay, maybe one of y'all can answer this question about Eric.
Fort Max, be quiet.
What ethnicity is he?
I don't know. What's the actor's name?
I can't figure out if he's supposed to be, like, white or, like, Asian or, like, a mix, or is he Native American? I can't figure it out.
Well, I don't know.
So do you find it confusing, too, then?
Well, I hadn't really thought about it before, but yeah. Good job, Wikipedia. On the Time Force page, the link to the actor's Wikipedia page redirects to the Time Force page.
Awesome. Are you sure you're not on a Wikia site?
No, it's actual Wikipedia.
That's true. If it was a Wikia site, I would have directed you to an ad.
Yeah. Or Facebook or something.
Exactly.
But yeah, I never really gave much thought to his ethnicity, but now that you mention it, I have no idea either.
I don't think it really matters.
No,
it doesn't, but you know, it's just... He has a very unique look to him that it's very hard to place what his familial origins might be.
Asshole?
Yeah, that's a universal origin.
So the only thing that really happened in part two of the episode was the Q-Rex walking all over the Time Shadow Megazord.
And depending on if you were watching the original or edited version, blowing up a lot of stuff or just walking past a lot of stuff.
Right. Yeah.
Which Time version were we watching?
You linked the edited.
Probably the German version, which would have been the edited version.
Well, the edited being the edited for reruns and stuff later on.
After September 11th.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Time Force underwent some pretty heavy editing after that.
Well, but not to the premieres of episodes.
Yeah, because didn't the End of Time still feature the clock tower being blown up and then
actually,
reruns
all,
of it?
A lot of the episodes had editing done to them, even ones that aired months after 9/11.
Yeah, that was my point, though. The End of Time had the clock tower being destroyed, but then in reruns, they took that part out. Is that right?
That's kind of bizarre.
But I think mostly after Disney started running things is when those edits were done.
The upside of that, though, Mickey, is that it is possible now to get pre-edit versions of those episodes that people have encoded off their first-run videotapes.
Except one of them is oddly stretched and has subtitles for the theme.
Well, it's not hard to unstretch it.
It is hard to unsubtitle them.
But if it's just for the theme song, who cares?
I do.
Is it subtitles or closed captioning?
Subtitles.
In what language?
English.
That's closed captioning.
No, it's not the closed captioning, it's subtitles. Complete with the highlighting complete with the karaoke style highlighting.
But still, why does it even matter if it has subtitling?
Because it's different from the others.
Okay, well, get you a video editor and take the opening from another episode and glue it onto this one.
That's work.
Fort Max, I can't help you if you're not going to help yourself. The first step is admitting you have a problem.
You'd never help anyone anyway.
What, I gotta do everything? What do you people want from me anyway?
Everything.
Damn it.
Nichols.
Time Force, I don't really care for it, as they stand up inside the Megazord. I don't necessarily think they do that, but it just seems impractical when you're falling down and throwing into buildings and shit, and you're trying to do it while standing up and holding
the control
stick.
Don't you remember the Thunder Megazord cockpit?
Yeah.
Where every time the Megazord gets punched, they all slide to one side or the other.
Yeah.
Or the Zords in Lost Galaxy.
In Lost Galaxy, it didn't seem as apparent because they weren't all bunched up together.
Yeah, true. And same with the individual Zord cockpits in Season 3.
And in Lightspeed Rescue, they sat when they were in the Super Train cockpit, but otherwise they were in individual cockpits.
Yeah, and were still seated.
Yeah, they were, actually.
Yeah, but they were standing up in the individual Season 3 cockpits as well as in the Season 2 cockpits.
Were they actually sitting down in the Megazord cockpits in Season 3?
In the Megazord cockpits, yes. They were standing up in the individual Zords.
Right. I just couldn't tell if they were standing or seated in the Megazord heads.
They were seated. They had seats.
I really liked the Season 3 Zord cockpits.
Yeah.
That was some really good Saban set work.
Yeah, the Megazord cockpits were pretty good. They really weren't that consistent with the two times the Pink Ranger cockpit was shown.
Well, there was no Pink Ranger cockpit.
Yeah,
there
was. It was
just a redressed white.
There were two times that Pink Ranger Ninja Zord cockpits, the Ninja Zord cockpit was shown, and they looked different in each time.
Because it was just a redressed white Shogun Zord cockpit.
Well, all those individual Zord cockpits were just redresses.
Right. Anyway, in part two of the Clash for Control, the most interesting thing that happened was Mr. Collins trying to recruit the other four Rangers.
And failing.
Yeah, so then Eric got to be an asshole.
And was assuming that it had worked.
That's why he was an asshole.
Yeah.
What do you mean was?
Well, he got better later. Much, much later.
Sort of.
But not in this episode.
Well, no. You know, the next thing we should watch from Time Force is the Battleizer episode.
We should have a Battleizer month.
I was actually thinking about that, because there are a few good Battleizer episodes. And then there's a few bad Battleizer episodes, like Ninja Storm.
You know what I like about Mr. Collins? Is
he's
he plays
an actual
like...
actor?
No, he plays him like he's the most evil man in the world, when really he's not.
Well, he was to start with. He just got better later.
But they play him like he's like Lex Luthor.
Well, they probably wanted him to be at first. That way it's all the more meaningful that Wes breaks away from his father's business to be a hero.
Except he has less money and hair.
Well, everybody wants hair, though.
Long, beautiful hair?
Yeah. Like Fort Max's.
It has bounce and body.
So, yeah, anything else to say about these Time Force episodes?
I don't care what anyone says. I like the Q-Rex.
I don't care what you say. I don't like it.
No, you like Catwoman, so your taste is invalid.
My taste
or
is
at
extra
least in
valid.
Question. Huh?
My taste is the validest.
Well, maybe Fort Max can break the tie.
I like the Q-Rex.
Okay, so Mickey wins.
He was unable to break the tie.
Because Fort Max's opinion doesn't count.
Well, if it didn't count, it wouldn't be that he wins. It would... Well, wait. Who was the one... Wait, Mickey was the one who said you didn't like the T-Rex or what? Or the one who did like it? I'm getting confused here.
This is why Fort Max's opinion doesn't count.
You hurt yourself in your confusion,
though. Well, that's probably how I wound up here.
Because you didn't know what you were getting into?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that makes two of us, Fort Max. So, I guess that's all for this week, isn't it?
For better or worse, yeah.
Well, it depends on your point of view. Better because it's the end of the show, but worse because you've been here all this time.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, next week is Kamen Rider J.
Yes, next week, as we begin Superhero Time Power Playback, it's Rider Movie Month.
So right.
That's good, right?
Probably.
Well, it's still us.
I haven't actually watched Jay yet, so I don't know if it's actually a good movie or not.
But it's certainly a letter, and, you know, lots of Kamen Rider shows end in letters.
And you know what else Masked Rider Jay had going for it? Part of it was Yuuzhan Saban's Masked Rider.
Oh, so I'm not watching it then.
Well, it's not like it actually has Saban's Masked Rider in it. They just, you know, clumsily mix the footage into it, because who would notice?
Oh,
right?
That's who.
They didn't even bother trying to hide the different designs like they did in the Season 2 Zoo 2 Zord battles, so...
Well, they didn't really try at all with Saban's Masked Rider.
Yeah.
So, I don't even know how they thought that would work.
It could have worked if they didn't even... There's an easy way it could have worked, which was not try... to even use the their own RX suit in that battle. Because
well, no, there's a way
many,
it could have
he already has two additional forms. What's the third?
Yeah,
well,
there's
the RX suit in the Zoo 2 footage.
No, they use the RX suit. They spliced in their own RX footage using their version of the RX suit into the battle from Jay. But didn't even bother trying to hide all the areas where the J-suit was still seen.
They should have just made a new form for Masked Rider.
Yeah.
Black or something.
Yeah, and would have saved them a lot of money, too, because they wouldn't have had to shoot that new footage.
Yes, but that implied anybody had a clue what they were doing when they were producing Saban's Masked Rider.
Yeah, I'm wondering if the reason Saban's Masked Rider ended up like it did is that it was originally planning on having it syndicated which would allow more violence like VR Troopers had, but something ended up not turning out right.
You know, I was also thinking about how we were talking about Saban's Masked Rider apparently being a hit in the Power Rangers universe.
Yeah.
And it made sense to me later that that's because there is no Power Rangers in the Power Rangers universe, so Saban's Masked Rider would have gotten all the best stuff.
Either that or in that universe it was actually syndicated and they were able to go in with their original plan.
Or because it's fiction.
Yeah, that's the ultimate fiction, that Saban's Masked Rider was a good show.
Fiction is another word for lying.
Yes, it certainly is.
Well, still, that's probably the highest viewers. Well, still, probably that episode of Time Force probably wound up getting the highest viewership recorded for Masked Rider.
Even if it only was 5 seconds.
Yes.
About all they could hope for.
Of course, it's still not quite as good as the one episode of Turbo where Bulk and Skull were reading Beetleborg comics.
Is that before or after the giant pizza?
I want to say after. It's when Bulk and Skull were working as Forest Rangers.
Big Fire episode, which wasn't that wasn't the Big Fire episode actually
Torch Tiger? Was that Torch Tiger?
Yes.
That was one of those few episodes that Fox Kids reran over and over and over again.
Good name, though, Torch Tiger.
Now, was Tiger before or after the power transfer? Or no, not power transfer, the...
changing?
Yeah, changing of the... whatever, the...
The halfway point.
Not good afterwards.
The cast change, you mean? Is that what you were asking?
That might be what he's getting at.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I can't tell what he's talking about anymore.
I don't think it makes a difference.
Probably not, because when does Fort Max ever have anything useful or important to say?
Here's the important question. What did I do with my shield for the Time Force Megazord? Because I can't find it.
What mode do you have it in?
Red.
Is it holding the shield?
No, it wasn't in the box when I pulled it out of storage.
Maybe it's in another box, like your mom's.
Hopefully.
You'll never find it there.
Or you will, but when you're looking for something else.
Yeah, you'll find the shield, but you won't remember where you put the Time Force Megazord.
Exactly.
Yeah. Is the Time Force Megazord a good toy?
Yeah.
It is at first until the ratchets start wearing down and the arms and legs fall off.
Oh, well, that's not so good at all, is it?
Yeah.
Mine doesn't have that problem. It is a little loosey in some areas, but it still stamps together really well in all the right places.
Just like your mom.
Yeah.
Now, that's kind of unlike your mom, if it's in all the right places.
The ones you pay the nickel for.
Yeah, it's actually one of my favorite Megazord toys.
Yeah,
but the joint weakening is kind of a common problem with some Showa-era designs.
I kind of like that it can form from the same five Zords, two different Megazord formations.
Yeah,
and a vehicle.
When those ratchet connector joints start wearing out, that the arms and legs don't want to stay on.
Okay, you mentioned that already, Fort Max.
But yeah, the jet mode's good, and the two completely different robot modes, but they don't have the damn damn mode blue gun.
Right. You had to get something from the Japanese version if you wanted that.
Yeah.
What did it come with from the Japanese version?
Came with Ranger minifigures that would fit in the cockpits.
I want those.
So they sold minifigures and the Time Jet that work with the Deluxe Megazord as a separate thing?
Yes.
Yes.
So Bandai screwing over the fans is not any kind of new development or, you know, recent.
And also,
it's
made even worse by the fact that the five figures were released in the U.S. with the play sets.
Right.
But not the jet.
Yeah.
And actually,
thank you, Bandai.
Now, did they include a... now, I believe there was also a minifigure that came with the Quintosaurus Rex in Japan. But was there one in the U.S.? Or not?
Don't know, to be honest.
Beats me. I don't have any of these toys. I have very little in the way of Power Rangers toys in general.
No, you're a loss.
Yeah, well, they're expensive and they don't move a lot.
Well, so is your mom, but you're still fond of her.
The most stuff I have from Power Rangers is roleplay toys, mostly Morphers. So, do those mini Ranger sets with the time jet, are those expensive now?
Yes.
Of course they are.
Like, casual expensive or, like, stupid expensive?
I'm guessing stupid. Well, you know, there's people in the Power Rangers fandom that make replica parts like there are in the Transformers fandom now. You know, maybe somebody would do copies of those at some point so that people could have them at not insane prices.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Well, I think that's our show for this week.
Okay, then.
Yeah.
Works for me.
So, Mickey, will you be out sick again next week?
I don't plan on it.
Oh, that's good.
I hope not.
So do we.
Yeah, the show's just not the same without you.
I know.
Yeah. Well, you are kind of the personality of the show.
And the brains.
Which is frightening, isn't it?
Well, you are kind of the personality of the show.
And the brains.
Well, you're kind of the personality of the show, anyway.
I think we're caught in a time loop.
Weebly Eric's wobbly again?
It's Eric's fault.
No, it's always Decade's fault.
Well, Decade didn't do time travel. That was Denno.
It is unknown how this was affected by the Q-Rex incursion.
Well, anyway, that's our show for this week. I have the urge to apologize for it, although I'm not exactly sure why.
Well, when do you not have that?
Okay. Well, thanks for listening, and come back next week for the first Rider movie of five. Hopefully five.
Them.
Well, it'll be five either way, but it might not be the five I planned on, depending how things work out.
Will it be Fives?
If there is a Fives movie, I've never seen it.
Well, we're watching the Decade one at some point. He's probably in that.
At least briefly, I'm sure. Okay, we'll see you next week.
This has been Superhero Time. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.
What is that on my wall? That is the weirdest thing. It's a tiny little spider with two of its legs like four times longer than all the other ones put together.
Is it an itsy bitsy spider?
It's a pretty small spider. But it's not on the water spout.
I think it's a brown recluse.
Really?
You should lick it.
How small are brown recluse?
They're pretty small.
What's the size of the one on your wall?
Well, I'm looking for something to compare it to. Compare
it next to your mom.
Invisible.
Brown recluse.
Okay. Not for long, it's not. Now it is brown smear.
Are you sure that's the spider?
Oh, shoot, I grabbed the wrong thing, didn't I?